And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. When I left the house this morning, the temperature was 71 degrees. By the time I... let me think, where was I? Maybe about 5 miles away. All of a sudden, it was 61 degrees. So I guess you could tell I was going from south to maybe slightly north. When I got to Jacksonville, it was 67 degrees, which is quite a bit more southern. But it was interesting... By the time I went to my office and turned around and came back and went to get a bottle of water, it was 64 degrees, so it's feeling good outside. It's just so cool watching the rain come down. All right. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask me a question or make a comment, especially if it relates to healthcare or improving yourself. I think just about every person listening this morning, if they're honest with themselves, they're going to say, I have not totally arrived. There's room for improvement. And so that's what, let's focus on that. I got this article from Joe Mercola, but to me it's just so simple and to the point. So for your consideration, let me read this to you about the nut called walnuts. Walnuts offer numerous healthy benefits, and even though they are high in calories, they are an ideal light snack because they satisfy hunger. They are packed with nutrition and easy to keep handy, all that's true, and you can eat just a few and feel satisfied. Walnuts contain the amino acid L-arginine. If you haven't heard of that, that might be important to consider, which L-arginine offers excellent vascular benefits. And the omega-3 alpha-linoleic acid, which has outstanding anti-inflammatory properties. Eating just 4 walnuts a day can raise blood levels of ALA, alpha-linoleic acid. Walnuts are also rich in antioxidants, which can slow down aging effects. In fact, a handful of walnuts contain almost twice as much antioxidant power as any other common nut. Good to know. Walnuts have even been shown to help reduce fasting insulin levels and perhaps reduce the risk of prostate and breast cancer. And I can tell you right now, this is just my add-on, folks. Anything that lowers your fasting insulin levels is part and parcel to restoring your health, or if you want to call it healing or repair or rejuvenation or getting younger. It's been a while since I looked at the article, but it's very predictive. The higher your insulin levels are, the more rapidly your body's going to age. It's just the way it is, folks. It's one of the reasons why if a physician examines you and they order a lab test and one of the markers they're looking at is fasting insulin levels, then I would say that doctor is right on track and doing a great job of taking care of you. Fasting insulin levels. That's one of the easiest blood tests to order. I'm surprised more physicians don't order it, but who knows? They'll probably listen to my program this morning and change their wicked ways. I'm joking about that. Just a joke. Forgive me. Somebody was just trying to call. Sorry, I kind of started into that article before you call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. So go ahead and call away. And I'll pick it up right away without delay. 903-586-5257. Sorry I missed you a while ago, but we'll get it right this next time. All right. Next one. I've already lost it. We'll get to it, though. Okay, here we go. If no one wants to call and ask a question, we'll go on to the next one. This article comes from Margie King. Here we go. There we go. All right. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling. My sister has been diagnosed with lung bacteria, and she... did go to the doctor, and they gave her some antibiotics, but she's been very sluggish and weak in her legs, and so I was wondering if you might pass along something else she might take.
How old is she?
She is in her early 60s.
Outside of this lung infection, is she in good shape?
No.
Okay.
Not really. She had mono last year, and
Say no more. Goodness.
She, I think, just really never has gotten over that.
This woman that was probably 57, 58, 59 came to see me, but not for herself. She brought her granddaughter, who she's raising. I think her daughter had passed away, unfortunately. And so now she's in charge of raising this 14, 15-year-old girl. But when she came in, she said, my granddaughter, she's been in bed for 2.5 months. I said, really? How come? Well, she's sick. She just can't get well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, all right. Now, when the little girl was laying on the table, what I did was I sort of touched her spleen or put some pressure toward it. I took a very lethargic girl that could barely move, and I think she did a spinning back fist triple flip kick to get away from me touching her spleen because it was that swollen, that inflamed, and that tender. And I would say, now, I didn't do a lab test of any kind to prove whether or not she had mononucleosis or a viral infection. But everything that I did, it made me extremely suspicious this girl had a chronic viral infection. And I really think it was mononucleosis. Now, I'm not trying to say I proved that one way or the other.
Right.
But what I did was, and I know this is going to sound very, very low tech, when I examined the girl, she seen, and this is probably too much to think about, but she just tested very strong for thymus and spleen extracts.
Okay.
And so that's what I gave her. And the grandmother called me on Monday, which was, 3 days after the Friday that I saw her?
Uh-huh.
And she said, you're not going to believe this. She's getting out of bed. She feels like her old self again. She's getting back to doing normal stuff. And I thought, wow, that's a fast turnaround. I think I like that.
Yes.
That would be opposed to her calling saying, the funeral home wants your phone number, so they will not send anybody to you, Dr. Morgan.
Exactly.
But anyway, one of the points that I was going to get to is when the immune system is just completely sluggish and worn down, it can't rise to the occasion to overcome an issue.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I think of giving thymus and spleen extract. Oh, my word. And, of course, when you said lungs, the first thought that popped in my head is, I said, okay, what is the most potent gland that we have in the immune system? And I thought to myself, oh, that would be the thymus gland.
Uh-huh.
And so the thymus gland has complete charge and responsibility over the condition of the lungs. And so you would not make a bad decision if we gave your lovely, lovely sister some spleen extract and some thymus extract.
Okay, sounds great.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, and is the dosage on there, or what?
Oh, yeah, just in, I don't really know every manufacturer's suggested dosage, but I can give you an idea.
Okay.
I would start out by doubling it.
Okay.
I do have to warn you, though, and I don't, I'm not trying to say that I completely understand the mechanism, so let me give you some side effects, all right?
Okay.
Anytime that you, and I didn't say it, so please forgive me, but your thymus gland is responsible for the generation of antibodies, or at least one of the major systems. So any time that a human being has a condition that lasts more than 7 days, let me start over. Anytime somebody gets a virus or a bacteria or infection that lasts longer than 7 days, I would say that points toward that the thymus gland is not working efficiently. It's just very sluggish. It would be like in my pickup, if I'm used to having 8 cylinders pull or push me up the hill here at Mount Selman efficiently, I'm used to it. But what if just one cylinder was working and I had 7 that were inoperable? I might make it up the hill, but it might be at 2 miles an hour instead of 65 miles an hour.
Right.
And so the thymus gland is just severely underperforming. It's just very lackluster. And so anytime that you have an issue that lasts beyond 7 days, you think, hey, we need to help the thymus. Now, when you give thymus extract, probably the 2 or 3 or 4 most common side effects just to give you a fair warning here, is sometimes people say all of a sudden pus starts coming out of their body. And I would say that's a good thing. So if she begins to clear her throat and green stuff comes up and out of her lungs, I would say this is a good thing and she should spit that out, right?
Right.
Okay. Very, very foul-smelling stools sometimes occur when you take thymus extract.
Okay.
But what I would suggest is, if your immune system does a much better job at being dedicated to killing off toxic germs in the lungs, then yes, they give off odor when they die. But as long as they pass out through the stool, there will not be a problem. Now, spleen, the other one, and that's a little bit more interesting because it's real common when I give somebody spleen extracts, they just report back to me, I had the most vivid, weird, unusual dreams, Dr. Morgan. So you can either have a bowel movement that's just very, very dark, almost black. Sometimes I think that's just a spleen cleaning out and purging, which is a good thing, but just real surreal, bizarre dreams.
Okay.
Not nightmares, but bizarre dreams.
Okay.
But I would give her those things. The other thing that I would tell you, I know this is going to be a sales pitch, so here goes. You have just got to completely remove sugar from the diet.
Okay.
It's just completely incompatible with healing the lungs.
Okay. Okay. And I know she drinks soft drinks.
Well, so we're not here to judge her over that, you know.
I know, for sure. Yes.
What we may have to do is we may have to give her we may have to give her lime juice or lemon juice sweetened with monk fruit or stevia or something like that, where she says, oh, you know what, I'm kind of used to drinking lemonade, but she'll tell me it tastes good.
Yeah, I would think so, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I have one more question.
Sure.
She also has had several kidney infections, and the doctor diagnosed her with, a fallen bladder.
Right, uh-huh.
So I wondered if she could take something. They're telling her that her bladder does not empty out completely.
Well, I know I'm just kind of throwing this towards you, so let me see if you can just catch it and try to repackage it and figure it out.
Okay.
There's a type of an exercise regimen called pelvic floor exercises.
Okay.
That's what she needs right now.
Okay.
Or old school technology might be using what's called a slant board.
Okay.
And while you're laying on a slant board, you're doing your pelvic floor exercises. Anything that increases the muscular tone of the pelvic floor is going to drastically improve the position of her bladder.
Okay.
And the body will be able to kind of hold it in its proper alignment.
Okay, great.
You know, this may not be the best analogy, but if I were standing in front of you right now, and you said, Dr. Morgan, I want you to completely take a look at me and tell me what you think about my posture. Well, if I took a look at your shoulders and your neck and your upper back and your lower back, and I looked at you from the front and from the side, I'd say, wow, you're doing a great job, kiddo. Look at your posture. It's excellent. But that's completely the job of your muscles to hold everything in alignment, right?
Right.
What would happen if you just if your muscles were removed from your body? Well, there's no way you could stand up. Well, that may be an analogy, but her fallen bladder, we can totally change that if she can start doing pelvic floor exercises. But at first, it ain't going to be easy because she's going to say, this is awkward, this is weird, this doesn't feel right, that doesn't come easy. And you're going to say, that's because you've lost all your muscle tone, favorite sister of mine. But the pelvic floor exercises are phenomenal.
Okay. She can probably go online and find those.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. You know what the other ones are? She could probably easily go online, like on YouTube, and just type in pelvic floor exercises. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention yoga. When I say yoga,
okay.
I'm not talking about becoming one with the universe like Om. That's not what I'm referring to.
Uh-huh.
I'm just referring to different type of exercises and poses and postures that greatly enhance blood flow to her pelvic floor.
Okay. Oh, that sounds reasonable.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good day. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
By the way, ma'am, if you want to call back, since you were so nice, I'll devote the rest of the program just to you. If you want to call me and ask a question on the radio, the number's 903-586-5257. To me, it's just so much funner taking questions than it is spouting off information, although I dig that too. I'm kind of an information junkie. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Hey, I went to the doc about a week ago, and they said that my LDL, I know you get this all the time, my LDL is 191.
I've never heard of that. What is LDL?
No, I'm sorry. But she was jumping flips for me to get on statins, and I just, no.
I haven't seen a doctor do flips. What did it look like?
Yeah, it was very miraculous, and
yeah,
I was, but I was thinking, well, is that really that bad of a number? And they ever said it was,
well,
it was seriously.
Do you mind if I just insert one thing into the equation right here?
Sure.
Earlier, I made the mention because I was reading about walnuts. That walnuts lower fasting insulin levels. So I know I'm just giving you one little sliver and tidbit of information, so take it as such. I'm not trying to be Mr. Panacea this morning. But insulin seems to be the number one factor that triggers the production of LDL cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say it's the only one. But if your LDL cholesterol is elevated, I have to ask the question, why is that? And I think it's okay to ask the question, why? Because if I don't ask the question, why, then I instantly jump into the ideas, well, this is bad. I mean, I can't tolerate this. We've got to lower it, so let's give a statin drug to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
So if a doctor would order fasting insulin levels, man, do I think that would be a very, very, that's got to be one of the most impressive markers.
Yeah, I can tell you what mine was. My fasting insulin level was 99.
What did she say about that?
She said that's pre-diabetic.
Okay. What did she tell you to do about that?
Oh, nothing. I just listened. I mean, nothing.
Well, see,
she said we got to keep an eye on that.
You know, well, okay, that's technically that is one strategy. I'm not saying that's a strategy I like or that you want or you like, but that's one strategy. I could always say, hey, I've noticed the corner of my house is on fire, and I could say, I'm going to watch that. Well, that doesn't do anything to resolve it, does it?
Not a bit.
Or we could say, why don't we pray for rain, even though it's clear blue skies and really hot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been negative that way. The other thing that I would present to you is, and I know this is just a tremendous simplification, is the only time that cholesterol really presents a challenge to the human body is if it's in a form called oxidized cholesterol. I know you know what the word oxidation means. If you have exactly. So if a rock chipped off the paint on your wife's car and you just let it go for a couple of years, you can't be shocked if one day there's not a rust spot, you know, where that chipped paint's been removed because the sheet metal underneath it begins a process of rusting or oxidizing.
Right.
And so we know that oxidized cholesterol, now that stuff, if you'll just trust me to say this without making me prove it to you, it has this tremendous affinity for clogging up arteries.
Right.
Fair enough?
Gotcha.
Okay. So if she did a fasting insulin levels, I got to say, man, does my hat go off to her. The other test she could have ordered was, it's just called oxidized cholesterol. And it's got to be another one of those great tests that I think is greatly underutilized, because if you have high levels of oxidized cholesterol, then you might go in, okay, what do I do to resolve this? So I have a little bit of a sales pitch for you. So I'm not trying to say this is perfect, but I just want you to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider what I'm saying.
Okay.
Which I realize that's the whole reason why you called, right?
Exactly.
If you didn't want to know what I'd say about this, you wouldn't have called me and spilled the beans about the... All right. We know that the number one reason that tells your body to generate more cholesterol is going to be higher levels of insulin, and that's the direction you're headed. So when I read the article this morning that walnuts lower fasting insulin levels, to me that's very, very intriguing, because there must be something about them. And another way of saying this is there's several dietary regimens out there that try to correct these. And so you have the American Heart Association diet for reversing diabetes. Total failure, if you ask me. The American Diabetes Association. And I could keep going. There's probably about 9-10 dietary regimens. But what you want to do is, if we can lower your insulin levels, you'll probably tell me that your LDL cholesterol comes back down to a more reasonable range. And let me just interject here. LDL cholesterol is actually one of the most fabulous transportation molecules of hormones that the body has. And so if you lower that, guess what you could have also? You could have drastically reduced testosterone levels. Mm-hmm. See, when you wake up in the morning, you want to say, baby, I am so motivated to get out there and go to work, I can't even stand it. I've got stuff I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, sweetheart, maybe you should start going to work and maybe I should stay home full time. What do you think about that? What do you think she would say? What do you think she would say?
I don't know. I think you're bugging my house.
Okay. Wait a second. Have you looked outside? There is a drone. Now, this drone that I have above your house, it's blue and orange.
Yep.
Anyway, but when you eat walnuts, those definitely, their highest calorie is going to come from fat.
Right.
And see, when you consume fat, your body doesn't require a drop of insulin to process it. So when people tend to have higher fat diets, that gives them an opportunity to greatly lower the carbohydrate intake.
Right.
And so sometimes those are called ketogenic diets. There's like paleo diets, low-carb diets, slow-carb diets, whatever you say. But the other thing that I'll do momentarily to see if I can get that all under control is I'll try a diet of just intermittent fasting throughout the day. And this is what that would look like. At least this is what I see that works for me all the time. Intermittent fasting might be something like, you know what, I'm not even going to have breakfast today, not even going to eat breakfast, I'll drink water. Some people can get away with drinking coffee in the form of bulletproof coffee or coffee where they might add cream to it or butter or coconut oil. All those things can be cool if they work for you. If they don't, then we could just make a modification. But if a person wakes up in the morning and they say, you know what, I haven't had anything to eat since 6 o'clock yesterday evening, so technically, from 6 o'clock at night till 6 a.m., that would be a 12-hour fast, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you did not eat breakfast, and say we extended that fast to, say, maybe 12 o'clock, where you're going to have a really good high-quality lunch, mm-hmm. that might be easily an 18-hour fast. And to me, that has got to be one of the greatest scientifically proven ways to lower the insulin levels, which is what you want to accomplish.
Right.
And so you might kill two or three birds with one stone. If your insulin levels start to come down lower and lower and lower, then you'll have less generation of LDL cholesterol production. Mm-hmm. And you'll tell me a lot of the inflammation that's coursing through your body starts to just fade and disappear and go away. And so eating two meals a day may be the very thing that works for you. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the only other thing that she thought my help would be Metamucil in the morning.
Are you constipated?
No.
But was she wanting to recommend Metamucil to kind of fill you up so you wouldn't be hungry?
No, she's saying that it's psyllium that's in it.
Oh, but she's just saying the fiber might help bind with cholesterol?
To help lower, that would be another step to help.
Yeah,
I'm
okay with that. That sounds good. I just don't think we're getting to the precise mechanism that's causing
it. Right, and I do like the paleo. I've done that before.
Okay,
and
good.
I can do that. So
this guy walks in my office on Thursday morning. You know what he told me? He said, this is the best that I've felt in a long time. He said, my knees don't even hurt anymore. You know, the one thing he said that really, really impressed me, and I hope I get this right, because I think that if you can tell me something like this, I think, man, this is a home run. Mm-hmm. This is a body that's healing rapidly or improving rapidly. He said, you know, I used to go to sleep at night, and I would wake up very frequently throughout the night, and, you know, might get up to go to the bathroom. But he said, you know, it was just normal to wake up every hour on the hour. And I go, really? Well, that just is kind of the pits. But he says, now I'm sleeping throughout the night, and let's just say he sets his alarm for 5 o'clock, or he just naturally gets up at 5 o'clock or 6. I'm going, well, what do you think about that? He said, man, I just love it. But anyway, he was telling me one other point, sorry. He said, I dropped 20 pounds this month. I'm going, 20 pounds? I wonder if the body's in better.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. That's a very
a little extreme, yeah.
Well, he told me, he said the 10 pounds came off very, very quickly. But then the second 10 pounds, he would go for a few days, lose a little bit, plateau, go for, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying is it was kind of, it wasn't a straight linear line of 20 pounds of weight loss. He didn't,
right.
He didn't lose exactly 3/4 of a pound exactly every day. No. But I can tell you this, if you looked at him, you would say, you don't even really have 20 pounds to lose. But, you know, he did. But he also told me, I think he said his blood pressure is kind of averaging somewhere around 115 over 75. That would be as opposed to 165 over 112, which would not be a good number. But what he did was he brought his body back into its normal, healthy balance. But this guy, I'm not even having to try to convince him to do anything because he's seeing such significant changes. And plus, he's a phenomenal human being. He's probably not even listening, so I could probably say his name.
Say
his wife wouldn't even know I'm talking about him. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. His name is not Stacy. But anyway,
okay.
To make a long story short, if we were to... Now, one thing that did happen is I think the cholesterol levels on a different individual I'm referring to when they did this, they actually went up. So can I play both sides of the equation pretty please?
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol is actually one of the most fabulous repair molecules in the human body. So if cholesterol becomes elevated, and it's not because of higher levels of insulin or LDL cholesterol is oxidized, then I think there's got to be something the body's trying to correct or repair. So I do not freak out about those. And 191, under the right circumstances, that may prove to be the best thing that could happen to you. But under other circumstances, if your insulin levels are high and you're getting close to diabetes, then I would say, you know what, maybe we could eat a little bit differently because ultimately, you know what I want you to be? I want you to be...
wealthy, and wise?
That's right, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Wait a second. That sounds like a fabulous quote. Aren't you the guy didn't you coin the phrase, an apple a day keeps a doctor away?
Got it.
Man, you've got two phrases to your name now.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm going to...
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I am a little bit hypertensive, too. I take my blood pressure not frequently, but...
Well, you know what makes blood pressure go up? Insulin levels. Anything that causes insulin to go up, it makes the arteries stiff and hard every single time.
Right.
I don't think there's anybody that's going to be able to convince me otherwise, because I've read too many scientific studies on that. So everything is going to come back in line. Your blood pressure is going to go down. You are going to be able to tell... Now, actually... Scratch that. You don't need to call me. I've got the drone and the spy cameras just watching you.
I know.
Do you know where they are?
They'd have to be around Bullard.
Well, but my point is, you know that large teddy bear that you can't do without? It's in the nose of the teddy bear. Rats, yeah. I gave him the location.
There you go.
Thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. Man, oh man, you can completely turn all those numbers around, and when your physician asks you, you can tell them. Greatly reduce the carbohydrates. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you, and you?
I'm doing well, thanks for asking.
I have a question. My daughter and I went into the grocery store yesterday. She's 8, and she ran up to the big display of strawberries. And I just couldn't buy them because they're not organic, and I hear that that's one of the worst things you can buy as far as absorbing pesticides. So I'm wondering if there's any way that I could clean them. I've heard of different washes with vinegar and stuff.
Vinegar and baking soda.
Hmm. So that will make a considerable difference?
It'll pull a lot of that stuff out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Of course, I'm only joking as I say this.
Oh.
I'm serious. I'm sort of joking. But there are many times that if I think a person has been poisoned by some chemical, I just jump cut to the chase and say, go to the health food store or go wherever you can, Drug Emporium, Granary, CVS, and get activated charcoal. And I'm telling you, activated charcoal is a godsend. It's got to be one of the greatest healing agents of all time. I kind of this is just my own idea, but I thought, what would happen if every household in America had activated charcoal, and the moment they started having a bad tummy ache or they had a bad problem, they just swallowed some? Well, I could probably cut down on emergency room visits by 50%. I really don't know that. I'm just kind of popping off as I say that. But if you were to put a gallon of water and put a teaspoon of charcoal in there and let them soak in that, man, that pulls the pesticides right off of them.
Have you ever
brushed your teeth with charcoal?
Yes, I have. I bought it when I had Lyme disease and I had mold spores in me, and I was trying to get all this stuff out.
Yeah,
and,
well, did it help?
Yeah, it did. I actually recovered from both. I did several different things.
You mean I'm not telling you anything you don't already know? Great.
I didn't know it worked with fruit.
Well, let me ask you a question. What time does your husband normally come home from work?
Oh, about 6 o'clock.
Can I ask a favor of you? On Monday, about 5:59, I want you to go to the bathroom, and I want you to brush your teeth with charcoal. And before you rinse it out, I want you to greet him at the front door and give him a nice, you know, delicious kiss. Can you do that for me? Because I'm doing some field research, ma'am. I need to know what your husband's response is. And smile really big.
He would run away.
I didn't say rub mud all over your face. He should really appreciate what I'm saying, because you're pulling toxins off your teeth.
Okay. I do use baking soda every couple of days.
Well, that's great too, but if you were to take and just soak your food in vinegar and baking soda, that's going to just greatly reduce the pesticides. I can't remember the program I was listening to, but it, like I told you, I'm just like you are. I just love hearing new information, and I can't remember the name of the deepest trench in the ocean. Is that the Marianas or the Mariana Trench? What's it called?
I have no idea.
Well, I just knew I could run it past you and you could correct me. But they're saying they've even picked up traces of pesticide residue in the deepest trench in the ocean. We're talking about like how Mount St. Everest is above the earth or above sea level. Well, this Marianas Trench is like that far below sea level. Do you think it might be a little dark down there? but they're finding even there are traces of pesticides that are commonly used. I've got to believe
with
that
the
round.
Activated...
Oh. No, go ahead. Yes.
I'm just wondering, with the activated charcoal, does it bind to good and bad stuff in you?
Yes, but I can tell you that's probably the least of my concerns. I mean, I can tell you just to be simplistic here, you wouldn't want to take a handful of charcoal and a handful of vitamins in the same, you know, swallow. So right. if you took nutritional supplements or you're eating food, nah, let me scratch that. If you go to a restaurant and your tummy is killing you after you eat, who cares? Take the charcoal, soak up the poison, and be done with it. I mean, charcoal.
But don't
is
take
a,
it regularly.
Well, there's lots of times that I recommend it to people, sometimes for a month or two. But I always recommend they take it just all by itself on an empty stomach. And personally, I haven't seen a problem with it. I really haven't. I mean, believe me, you don't know this, but every person that walks through my door is my own personal guinea pig. I get to try everything on them. I mean, I would never take charcoal, but I don't mind recommending it to others, though. No, I've taken charcoal plenty of times. Yes, it will stain your bowel movement kind of jet black, but that's just to be expected.
Okay.
But yeah, I think every household... Well, yeah. All right. Well, thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All righty. If you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. But at least I've got to applaud you for wanting to not give your kids boatloads of pesticides. You're a good mama. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
You have the most exotic, deep, masculine voice I have ever heard before. Are you a radio professional?
Yes, sir. I've been known to be in radio a time or two in my life.
Way to go, dude. Well, how's everything going?
It's going great. Long time not talking to you, but long time not listening to you. I've been here and there and everywhere in the world of adventure and business.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, you're trying to be productive, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Got to be.
Very, very good. My hat goes off to you.
You can't lay around and worry about stuff. You got to get out and get it.
Are you trying to suggest that being busy and occupied with work prevents you from worry?
Yes, sir, and the good Lord prevents me from worry, too.
Well, that's a good answer.
Amen. How's your family? Everybody
they're,
okay?
Oh, yeah, they're doing great.
That's good, Doctor. On the charcoal of the tablespoon and a gallon of water.
Well, I never use that much, to be honest with you.
Okay, I thought that's what you said.
Well, and I may have said that. If I did, please forgive me. You can look at all these recommendations on the Internet and textbooks, and they might recommend a tablespoon. I usually err on the side of maybe about a half a teaspoon.
Wow, okay. I didn't know for sure. That's why I called half a teaspoon.
Well, I'm sorry. I know where you're coming from now. I didn't catch that. If you were soaking vegetables or fruit, I could care less if you're using a tablespoon. My mind was just thinking about for internal consumption like you were going to drink it. Forgive me.
But brush it, no problem. Brush your teeth with it, correct?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay.
What would you rather brush your teeth with? Food-grade activated charcoal or a soot from your wood-burning stove? Now, you're thinking about this one, I can tell.
I think I'd take the activated charcoal.
But, you know, that's what people used to do 100 years ago when they couldn't afford
soot.
Toothpaste. They would just take soot from the stove and brush your teeth with it.
Wow. Same thing, then.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just about.
Might be a little bit more toxic.
Yeah. The reason I called, Dr. Morgan, Freon in the air that you breathe when you're living in a rented home. Is that very unhealthy?
Freon or radon?
Freon, leaking from an air conditioner that won't hold the freon.
Well, I'm not the air conditioning expert, but I don't even know if they use freon anymore.
Well,
I don't even think it's available anymore. Is that correct?
I don't know. I just thought they still put freon in it. It's just a different
They type. Have freon alternatives like, what's it called, 413A and, you know, stuff R42, but it's the freon alternative that doesn't have those aromatic hydrocarbons that they're worried about dissolving the ozone layer.
Okay, but still, if you are breathing that consistently and it's leaking whenever
I agree with that, and that's not good.
Yeah, when your air conditioning tech comes in with his machine and the freon or whatever kind of detector is already making a reading when he walks to the front door, that ain't good.
Ask him if he can put some charcoal in the lines, and that way where the black stuff starts oozing out, that might be the leak. I'm sorry, I just wasted your time.
No,
yeah, but I agree with you. That's not good to breathe those chemicals. Even if they're freon or not freon.
Right. Could you tell me any symptoms of that, possibly?
Well, if you start having icicles form on your beard, that might be too much refrigerant or coolant in the air.
Yeah.
That's just a joke. I really don't know. All this is relative. I'm sorry, I'm a horrible person. If the refrigerant, is it leaking outside or inside? Or do you
inside,
even know?
Inside the home.
Well, where are the coils located?
In the hallway.
I do not know the answer to that. I do know this. What you might try is, if you were to get on, and this is just one website, I'm probably the least techie person out there for visiting websites because I'm just very, very basic. Now, you've probably never heard of this website. It's kind of new. It's called eBay.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Well, it's ebay.com. But if you were to get on ebay.com, you could type in air purification, and you're going to come up with probably 58 million hits on that. And so what you might do is just click on which one's priced the lowest. But I have one that I use at my office because in the building that I have, it's just an older metal building. When it rains, it leaks a little bit. I mean, I've tried a million times to get them to fix it. It's just not going to happen. So I use this stuff to neutralize mold spores if the weather is the right conditions for those. But it has two charging plates. It has an ionizer. It has an ultraviolet bulb. But it's just a way where I can kind of sterilize and neutralize toxins in the air. And I think I paid maybe $80 for it with free shipping. And I've had it for several years. So the other companies, do you remember when people would come by your house and say, hi, we're new to the neighborhood and we're selling Alpine air purifiers?
Right.
And you said, sure, what do they cost? Well, for the very low price today of $1,795, we'll get you one. Well, I think these work just as good as those Alpines, and that's just my humble opinion, so it's not based on science. But I tell you what, it works like a champ for $80, but it totally neutralizes toxins in the air.
Okay.
So it may neutralize whatever form of refrigerant. Maybe yours is R-413A. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're out of the home, they're in another home now, so...
You know, the other experiment that I want you to do is I want you to go to the pet store, and I want you to purchase a yellow canary. It doesn't have to be yellow. I guess it could be a parakeet. And just put it right there by the vent, and if it kind of falls off of its perch and stops moving, then that might be a clue that there might be some poisonous gases somewhere in the house.
We should have thought of that.
Now, you are, it's called the canary in the coal mine. Do you live are you a coal miner?
I've been a coal miner for years. How'd you know?
It sounds like you have black lung. No, I'm joking about that.
I got a lot of lung. I smoked for 44 years. Thank God I'm off of those.
Wow. Are you? Oh, man, I am so proud of you. That's got to be one of the hardest habits of all time to give up.
Dr. Morgan, may I be very totally honest with you and your audience?
If it's family friendly.
It is. I did not give them up. I asked the Lord to take them away from me, and I prayed a prayer, and I'd like to share it with you. Lord, you know I don't want cigarettes in my life anymore. I hate them. I despise them. They've been killing me for years. If you'll take these dead gum cigarettes out of my life, I'll never smoke another one. And Lord, if I do, would you please just kill me? You're not going to ask the Lord to kill you unless you're very serious about asking this request of him. And he knows your heart. You can't lie to God. And I guarantee you it worked for me because I wanted off of him bad.
Well, that's what I call a very serious, I'm all into this prayer.
Hey, it works.
Can you think of a time in Scripture where somebody asked the Lord to kill him?
Was it Job?
Jonah.
Jonah.
Well, maybe Job did.
No, I don't think Job did. Jonah.
But you know what? I'll tell you what Job did do. He said, death is better than what I'm experiencing right now. Didn't he do that?
Right, he did.
Yeah, yes. But Jonah asked God, just go ahead and kill him.
Yeah, Job's wife said, why don't you just kill yourself, I think. But Jonah did ask.
I'm glad you're not asking me to make a comment on that last statement.
Well, hey, you can if you want to. I think.
Well, but God completely gave you victory over cigarettes, right?
He did, and several other things that I won't discuss on the air.
Well, right, but you said you were telling the Lord that you're very serious, and he answered your prayers.
And Dr. Morgan, I heard that prayer on TV. A gentleman told me that prayer after I heard that prayer on TV, and then another gentleman told me that prayer, and he had heard it on a TV or radio program. So that prayer has been out there for years, and it was ironic that I heard the prayer, and then I was told that the prayer by two gentlemen that I was doing business with.
How many cigarettes did you smoke a day?
I probably smoked a pack a day, sometime a pack and a half. Winston Reds.
How many are in a pack?
How many in a pack? 20.
Yeah, 20, okay.
Yeah.
That's between 20 and 30 a day, right?
Oh, yeah.
How long does it take to smoke one cigarette?
As long as you want it to.
Really?
As long as it be, you know, you can smoke it quick.
I mean, can it be 5 minutes or 15 minutes?
Maybe a minute, 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. All right.
That's pretty quick. I don't really remember. I just, you know.
And I'm not trying to be so technical. I'm just kind of curious. You know, 30 cigarettes a day times 2 minutes, that's an hour.
Yeah, you're wasting a lot of time. I tell you another reason that I quit. I was having to go outside to smoke on the job, and I would see all these people. I would be out there with them, and I felt like a leper. I thought, what in the heck am I going outside to smoke a cigarette? And also, I went to...
Were you the only one doing that?
What, going outside?
Yeah.
No. I was going outside with, I call them idiots now, like me.
So it wasn't a leper, it was a leper colony.
Okay. Well, I felt like a leper in a leper colony, yes. And then I would go by all these...
Sorry, kids. I really didn't mean it. I'm not trying to suggest
you
had leprosy.
You're fine. No problem. But I'd go by all these businesses, and I would see these people, and still today you see them outside smoking. And what really is so ironic, you know, you have Obamacare. Now, supposedly, it's going to be Trump care, and the Republicans still won't get together. They never will. Trump can do things, but he's got to have their help, and they're idiots up there. But anyway, I forgot my thought. But yeah.
Have you forgotten your thoughts?
I forgot it because I got on the bandwagon of Washington. But the health care, that's what it was. They want you to have health care, free health care, okay? It's not free, I assure you. But they...
What do you think health care would cost if cigarettes just weren't available at all? Well, it would go way, way down, wouldn't it?
It'd cut it in half.
That's like, and I'm sort of making a joke by saying this, but if they really were concerned about our health, there might be a few fast food restaurants that would just be illegal, right?
Exactly. And but, Dr. Morgan, if they really cared about our health, they would take the lie of sugar out of the equation. I had a nurse tell me that worked at a hospital in the nursery when the newborn babies are in the nursery. Now, she told me this, and it blew my mind. And people may not believe this, but I'm glad you have this platform, and I can say this to you. She told me that they addict every baby with sugar. In the hospital, they put a dropper of sugar underneath each baby's tongue, and they say, well, they have to have a kickstart in life. That's where the addiction from birth.
Well, and I don't know that every nurse that does that. I don't think there's a diabolical plot, but they do. They do give it to them on the pacifier because it calms them down real quick.
Yeah, let me just say this. This is what a nurse told me that did it, and she's not doing it anymore. She's still a nurse. She was a couple of years or two or three years when she told me this, and it blew me away. I said, ma'am, I don't know if I can believe that. She said, you don't have to. She said, I know. And she said, how addictive is sugar? There's one molecule difference between sugar and cocaine. You know that. Look it up on the internet. And the government...
Are you trying to say that sugar is addictive as much as cocaine is?
I'm telling you. It is, but it's legal. What do we give our children from birth? Candy. Peppermint. The peppermint is sticky, correct? You have to wash it off your hands.
And in the first place, parents don't do that. It's only grandparents that give candy to their grandkids.
It will, exactly. Parents try to keep it away from them. Like,
well, not always.
No, that's true. And you see these little babies in strollers with the big old, the big cup from McDonald's or the big gulp of a Pepsi or a Coke or, you know, whatever, a lime drink. That's
you know
true.
What? I deserve to be punched by this lady the other day. Can I tell you what I did?
Tell me.
She was pouring Pepsi Cola in a baby's infant bottle, and I said, man, that probably is not in.
Yeah.
She told me what I could do with my opinion, and I probably. But I have not been successful convincing people of those things.
No, I
when
don't
it's
even,
a cold yeah, call.
I don't even say anything to strangers anymore. Well, I used to. And boy, you get all kinds of looks.
I know one thing I can say about you, Jerry, is I really greatly appreciate your enthusiasm for blessing your fellow man. As long as I've known you, You have always been so interested in blessing and helping other people, and part of that is just trying to educate them about what the truth is.
Dr. Morgan, Jesus told us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And to me, I take that.
How can you beat that?
You can't beat it. You cannot hide from the truth. You can try to cover it up. You can do what you want to. He gives us choices.
I think David said the truth was worth more than gold, yea, much fine gold.
Amen. And the Lord gives us the choices, but we can't choose. I heard a preacher, he's not with us anymore. He's with the Lord. Adrian Rogers, you know who he is, from Memphis, Tennessee.
Your voice and his are almost identical.
Billy, thank you, sir. I take that as a compliment. Billy Graham called Adrian Rogers a preacher's preacher. And when that man died, I called on the radio that night and talked to his wife. And I said, Ms. Rogers, you don't know me from Adam. I'm in East Texas. And I said, I just want to tell you. And I started crying. And I said, ma'am, you have no idea what your husband on the radio meant to me, because I've been in radio for years, and I love his voice. I loved his message. And one thing that man said that I'll never forget, and I told my ex-wife this. She's a smoker, still smokes. And she had a cigarette in her mouth one day at the kitchen window of where she was living. And I was in there talking to her. I went over for some reason. I can't remember what it was, taking something to her and my family. And she had that cigarette, and I told her, I asked her, when are you going to quit those cigarettes? Well, now here we go, you know, the old adage, your argument.
And I figured she would say, you're whispering sweet nothings into my ear.
Oh, yes, she did. But let me tell you, I said, let me just tell you one thing. You always have thought that I'm right, okay? I don't want to be right. I want right that's right, and that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, you're open to the truth.
She's right. She said, I've got a choice. I can do what I want to. I said, yes, you can. But let me tell you what a preacher I listened to, Adrian Rogers, said. Ma'am, sir, you can choose what you want to do in this life. The choice is yours. God gives
everything. Oh, that is so true.
Free choice. But one thing you cannot do, beautiful, and that's what I said to her. I said, one thing you can't do, beautiful, you cannot choose the consequence of the choices that you make. That's God's choice.
That's why you're trying to choose not to participate, so you don't have to deal with those consequences.
Exactly. And she bit down on that cigarette, and she looked at me, and she said, took the cigarette out of her mouth. She said, you're right. I nearly fell to the floor. I could not believe that woman, after we were married 33 years, told me I was right.
Was that the first time?
It was the first time.
Wow.
That I could remember. And I told her, I said, I'm not trying to be right. What's right is right. Just because I say it, that doesn't mean
that. Well, you know what it says in the book of John? Thy word is truth. So there's truth right there.
Exactly. That's just it. You can't, and that's why ye shall be hated for your names, for my name's sake. Because people do not want to get into the Word of God and really study it to be approved and realize what it
well,
is.
Well, some do, though.
Do what?
Some do.
Oh, yeah, some. But when you really get down to what's there, people will fight you tooth and nail.
Well, you don't have to look real far. If you look at statistics on how many Americans identify with being Christian, it's not a lot compared to the way it used to be.
No,
most people call themselves not. I am not associated with anything.
Exactly.
And so church attendance. See, that's the easiest day to drive on the roads around Texas, Sunday morning. Nobody's on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Dr. Morgan, one thing you can say, our country is being overrun by infidels because they're not Christians. And you cannot call someone a brother if they're not in Christ.
See, that's interesting because usually the word infidel is tagged on the Christian. Yes.
We are the infidels. But if you read the Word of God, they are the infidels.
Well, but they need help and encouragement. You know, I've often asked myself, what would happen to... Because I know that you've tried, I've tried, everybody listening's tried to reach out to somebody to help them. And so once they pass on from this world into the next life, they can't have a do-over where they come back and say, why didn't you try harder? It's just, it's not the way it works.
Dr. Morgan, you know and I know that we're all God's children, and that includes the people that want to cut our throats.
Well, God says he doesn't like people to die in sin, right?
Exactly. They have a choice, and the choice is theirs.
Well, the choice is theirs, but I mean, there's obviously there's some places where you it's much, much easier to be a Christian than maybe where some people are raised, right?
Exactly, for sure.
So the good Lord found it appropriate for you to be born in Texas and not to be born in North Korea or
Amen.
In India or Iran or someplace like that.
Exactly. You are who you are, but we all have a choice, and we can make that choice for Jesus Christ.
Well,
but they don't want
right.
to hear.
I really appreciate your phone call today. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
God bless you, Dr. Morgan.
All right. Have a good day. Stay
cool. Audience, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to call me on the radio and ask a question, feel free to do so, 903. You're probably thinking, wow, the phone line's actually open. The number's 903-586-5257. And I'm looking at the clock. We've got 3.5 minutes left, 3 minutes left. Plenty of time for a phone call. So if you want to ask a question, that's great. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a quick little medical question. So I have a rash that's recurring that that comes up in between my breast and under my breast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How can I get it to go away and, like, stay
well,
away?
Are you taking any drugs of any kind?
Blood pressure medication.
All right, let's just tackle this piece by piece. Just because of time, I don't know if I can go into everything, but let me give you 3 or 4 ideas.
Okay.
If you will take a clean, sterile cotton washcloth that's, you know, fresh from the dryer, just put apple cider vinegar on it.
Apple cider vinegar.
And what I want you to do is just gently wipe that area, but what I want you to do is I want you to avoid washing that with soap and water for a few days.
Okay.
I didn't say you couldn't wash behind your ears with soap and water, but just there, and just use apple cider vinegar just to wipe it down.
Okay.
And when you come back with what's called coconut oil. The other thing that I would tell you that I would want you to try, and I hope that I don't overpromise or try to make this into the super formula, but there is a salve that you can buy online that's called Plantain Golden Seal Salve.
Plantain Golden.
Now, if you're into very attractive-looking salves, you will not like the look of this stuff right here because it looks like kind of a green, gooey... But I'm telling you, this stuff is phenomenal. If you told me there's a baby that you knew of that had the worst diaper rash of all time, oh, this will take care of it, sister. Totally.
Okay.
Plantain is like a close cousin of a banana. Does that make sense?
Right, yes. I recognize the word.
Okay, cool. Good. But if you will try that just for a few days, you'll see that rash probably go away. And I didn't want to get into it too much unless we had enough time. But there's some people that develop rashes just because the residue of drugs is not easily detoxified. And under the fold of the breast tissue in women, that's kind of a liver zone. So it always makes me think, what is the liver contending with?
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, but if you will, just try the apple cider vinegar, coconut oil, and that plantain golden seal salve, and see if that ends up being just like a major home run for you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you called. Thanks a bunch. I wish you have a great weekend, ma'am.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's still cloudy outside, but man, is it going to feel good today. I cannot wait. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Roy Morgan. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.